Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today we're going to continue our series, the Sermon on the Mount, just a very quick one today. Well, it should be quick, just two verses, Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. I'll read them straight up. I have a little title on my Bible, it says, The Narrow Way. And Jesus is speaking, he says, enter by the narrow way in Matthew 7, 13. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? To destruction or death, depending on the translation you're reading. And there are many, he says, who go by it. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now this is a challenging piece of scripture, and we must be very careful as believers already, as followers and disciples of Christ, not to fall into any modicum of self-righteousness and go, yes, I'm on the narrow gate. I'm doing it this way. Well, good, but we cannot let pride come from such a decision. So what we see here is a very clear choice. Well, it would seem to be a very clear choice, wouldn't you agree? Between the narrow gate and the wide gate. Well, Lord, yeah, one leads to life, one leads to death. But it's not as clear-cut as we think. Because as Jesus himself says, most people take the wide gate. Now I have a challenge for you. I will also put forward that most people in the church also take the wide path, not the narrow one. It's a challenge for you to consider, to think about, not to judge others, but for you to think about. So as a quick cap for those who maybe haven't come across this before, the wide gate represents that path of least resistance. It's filled with worldly pleasures. It's filled with comfort. It's a mindset of just conforming to society norms. You know, the new normal, society says it's okay. This is the new culture. Yes, I'm just going to go that. And they do it without any regard for God's will. It makes me think of the Proverbs, Chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but, if you know, finish it off for me, yeah, the end of that way is what? Death. The thing about the wide gate is it's enticing. It's comfortable. It requires little effort, little change, but it doesn't go where we want to go. And just a side note on that, change. We must be careful as disciples, followers of Christ, when we're witnessing, when we're sharing the love of God, the gospel, to another, that we don't make them feel in any way, got to get it right before you come to Jesus. That's legalism. Hey, yes, we don't take a shower, so we don't get clean before we take a shower, do we? No, well, you don't have to get clean before you come to Christ. Understand this. Share this. When they say, well, do I have to change? My honest answer, come to the Lord as you are. But don't expect that you will stay as you are, because the whole point is that you be born again, that you become a new creation in Christ. And I will show them these scriptures in the Bible. I don't want them to take my word. I want to see his word becoming alive in their lives as a new creation. It doesn't matter whether you are good by society standards or whether you are bad by society standards. The whole point is that we become more like Christ, which can take a lifetime, but we do become a new creation and born again into a new life and a new purpose to follow our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ, our Messiah, our King. So we have the wide gate, easy, requires a little effort, no change. We can just take it. But in contrast, the narrow gate, it's a path that does demand self-denial, discipline. It requires obedience to God. It's not about earning a place or a right in salvation. It's about accepting the free gift of salvation. What is that gift? It is the Holy Spirit within that then changes within, moving without. That's where it comes in. And this is why I say I challenge Christians in the church who are still standing there looking at these two gates. If I step a foot down this one, I can step a foot down that one, see where I go. It makes me think of that poem by Robert Frost. I'm going to misquote it here, but the way less traveled, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and wishing I could travel both, long I stood and bent down and looked in the undergrowth to see which one I would take. Now, this is me paraphrasing it. Too many Christians are looking down both paths without committing to the narrow gate. Because walking the narrow path, it isn't easy. It is not easy. It requires us to swim against the current of our culture. It requires us to follow him, not them. And sometimes, even to go against the expectations of others. And we see such things all the time. And I'm reminded here, I've written this one down, Luke 9:23, Jesus speaking again said, whoever wants to be my disciple. Now let me just, before I move on. Believer, it's where you begin. Follower, oh, we hope that that's the next step. And then disciple. But we also know from Scripture, we know of those who believe, they saw Jesus, I believe, but just walked away. We know of those who followed him from place to place to place, and then when things were put in a hard fashion, left. So we must seek to move from believer, from follower to disciple. This is important. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. We must believe, we must follow, and we must be disciples. Now, discipleship, and this is not what I wanted to talk about today, but just quickly, discipleship means we are being discipled. We get discipled by the word. We must also have, as like Timothy did, for example, someone discipling him, Paul the Apostle. Wouldn't that be something? But there needs to be this chain of command, so to speak, of disciples making disciples. This is the Bible way. And so the narrow path, if I can get back on track, back to the narrow path for the purpose of the video, it involves sacrifice, it involves perseverance. It's not popular because it challenges society norms and our own comfort zones. It's not a path for the faint of heart. And this is the problem with Christianity in the modern church. We have made it so easy that we forget Christ saying, if the world hates you, it's because they hated me first. So if the world is loving you, there's a good chance you're doing it wrong and not following your Savior. So the narrow path calls us to put trust in God's wisdom over our own understanding. And the world, which so often just promotes self-reliance, individualism, choosing to depend on God can feel, it's almost counterintuitive in the way that it works, yet it is the essence of walking in faith. There's an interesting point at the end of verse 14. And there are few who find it. There are few who find the narrow gate. Jesus warns us of this, which should be a call for us to seek him diligently. It's not about exclusion, but it's a challenge for each of us to individually, our individual intent to pursue after God. This is not talking to anybody else. I'm talking to you right now. Matthew 6, verse 33, my number one favorite scripture of all time. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. And then, all things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you don't know what that is, read the first, dig into it, study it. Go back to the video I did, I don't know, 2 months back or whenever it was, including the Sermon on the Mount. Because seeking God's kingdom means prioritizing him first His will and His way in every aspect of our life. And this is the challenge. I know from personal experience that this doesn't happen quickly for some, to put aside our own will and take up His, to put aside our own way and take up His. This does not happen quickly for some. Took me far too long. Far too long. I took that narrow gate. Praise God. Let me just say this. If you are on the wide path and you have a heart for God, it's not too late. Put your hand up. Father, take me off this path. Help me get onto the narrow way, and He will grab you. He will hold you. He will lift you up, and He will show you how. It is not too late, folks. It never is. But we have to focus on what truly matters. Philippians 3, verses 13, 14 says, Paul writing, forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what is ahead. He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards, upwards in Christ Jesus. It's like a race in this analogy, where as you move towards that line, if you've ever seen the sprinters, they're straining forward to get the ribbon across their chest for the prize. Now, for most of us, God willing, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you're lucky to get over that line without collapsing. I don't know if any of you have actually run a marathon or a half marathon or something like that. If you trip up and make a mistake and hit the ground, oh, what an effort it is to get back up. I used to do triathlons and triathlon training. Didn't get to do many. My knees from a previous years, accident and so on, allowed me only to do a few. And I praise God for that. It was a bucket list thing. It showed me something about self-discipline, which I now apply in my Christian walk. But you'd come up out of the water, usually up an embankment, sometimes on soft sand, which would just be killing you. And then you've got to hit the bike and you would just go. But if you tripped coming up out of that water, it was a horrible effort to then keep going. And then you'd do the bike leg, depending on whether it was a half or a full 50 kilometers. And then you'd have to get off the bike and run. Are you kidding me? Your legs are like jelly. But you run that race with endurance. Here's the thing. You also train for it. Training is a daily choice. Training is one of those things that makes the difference in the race. So you must train for it, and you must train with perseverance and press on. So what we see here, Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, the narrow way, is we must learn from it to make a deliberate choice every single day. Whether we are figuratively training or whether we are running the race, we're actually doing both today, right here, right now, today. This is training for tomorrow. You ever seen that? Just the beautiful miracle working power of God, where sometimes some incredibly difficult thing that you've got to push through with faith in your life, and you get to the end of it, and then sometime shortly later you realize it was training for the race, to be with someone else, to stand alongside them with faith, to encourage them, for your own faith to grow, to be stronger, to be utilized. It's the same way here. Walking through the narrow gate, it's not a one-time decision, folks. It's not putting your hand up to some repentance prayer and thinking you're there. It's a daily commitment to follow Christ, to seek His will, and to walk on the pathway that He sets for you. Thank you very much for joining with me. That's it. Give that some food for thought. Take some time. Pause a moment to consider. I pray God will bless you in this journey, in this beautiful race of life in Christ. God bless. Bye-bye.